At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to All Sides with Anna Staver. It's the start of our WOSU Spring Membership Drive. More on that in a moment. We all know the milestones we're supposed to hit once we become adults. Going to college, get a good job, buy a house, a car, save for retirement. Those are the rules, or at least they were. Milestones, like home ownership in particular, feel unattainable for many younger Americans. Even in some cases, undesirable. Maybe what we need is some new rules for money management. That's where Beret Lamb and Julia Carpenter come in. The two journalists have written a book, The New Rules of Money, a playbook for planning your financial future. And Julia joins us now. Welcome to All Sides.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So before we get into the book, I want to just remind you that you're listening to All Sides with Anna Staver here on 89.7 NPR News. And this is our spring membership drive. So I want you to remember that listener support is the foundation of our budget. Please give right now at WOSU.org, or you can call 866-897-9678. For a contribution of $10 a month as a sustainer, we have a great thank you gift that we're going to be talking about this hour. It's the workbook, The New Rules of Money. The book is a playbook for planning your financial future, and it's written by Julia, who's our guest today. It's always a good time to get some financial guidance because you never really know what's around the corner. From the ever-changing housing market, high interest rates, student loans, inflation, shrinkflation, we certainly need to be prepared for the unexpected. So right now is a great time to sit down and take a closer look at your financial future. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustaining member and get this book as a gift. The workbook will help you clarify your money goals, make a plan, and stick with it. It's full of worksheets where you make lists, take notes, literally write down your plan in this book. It's practical, it's helpful, and it's just $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. You can call 866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org. And if you listen every day, then you know this show is committed to producing in-depth, focused conversations on issues that are important to Columbus and Ohio. You hear our weekly reporter roundtable every Monday morning. And in recent months, you've heard us discuss the challenges of affordable housing with our series Untangled. We've been untangling the housing crisis. And if having a locally focused talk show is important to you, then now is the time to make a gift and support our station. And you get this great thank you gift that we're going to be talking about all hour. So do your part right now. And for $10 a month, get The New Rules of Money at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Whew, that was a long intro. But Julia, this is not a traditional finance book, which is one of the reasons I really loved it and I wanted to share it. It's a workbook for one, and it's also not prescriptive. It doesn't say you have to do this or buy that. Can you kind of tell me how you came up with the concept?
Well, thank you for the kind words, and thank you for, I love a long intro personally, so thank you for your words. When I was working on this with Beret, I was so inspired by cookbooks. I think that there is something about a cookbook that allows somebody of any level to approach it. You know, you read something like Claire Saffitz's Dessert Person, which is one of my favorites, and you can make a croquembouche, which is a really complicated multi-day process, or you can make a chocolate chip cookie. And what we wanted for this workbook was to take a similar approach. You can recalibrate your investments, or you can make a budget. Something that lets you be in the driver's seat and choose your path instead of just us telling you that everything you've been doing is wrong and you need to start from scratch.
Yeah, I really love that. We're also joined by Bure Lam. She's the Wall Street Journal Deputy Coverage Chief and co-author of the book. Welcome, Bure.
Good morning.
So you guys begin the book by asking people to write down their financial goals, literally in the book, because it's a workbook. And that seems fairly straightforward. But then you ask us to write down our first memories, like how our parents managed money or who taught us about finances. Bure, why was it important to start with our upbringing?
So Julia and I have been covering personal finance for probably like two decades between the two of us. And we talked to a lot of people. Yeah, a long time. We talked to a lot of people about, you know, where they learned about money, where they learned about like things like what should you do with your money and how much money is enough money. And the answers we got, we wanted to interrogate that a little bit, because it turns out that a lot of the people we talk to, they don't really know where they learned these norms or these, you know, conventional wisdoms about money. And the tricky thing is these rules, they change as our economy changes and as our, you know, goals change. And so we really wanted people to start writing about their earliest memories of money or things they think they know about money that are correct, and really interrogate that a little bit, because I think it turns out people don't really know where they got their money rules. It could be like your uncle that you talked to when you were five, or like you read something in a newspaper once, or something you heard on TV. And so when you clarify where you learn those things, you can start to sort of untangle a bit what are the money rules you need.
And, you know, I think this book is actually a great thing to sit down and work through if you have a spouse or a long-term partner, because I think so much discord in relationships occur when two people have very different views about spending, right? Are we saving to travel? Are we saving for retirement? Are we saving for a house? And, you know, I've been married to my husband for 17 years, so it's been a minute, but I know a lot about him. But just working through those opening pages together, I learned new things that I didn't know about him after being together for so long.
I love that you brought up working through it with a spouse or a partner. A dear friend of mine sent me a photo. He and his wife were doing that together. And I think the other thing that's really amazing about doing it with a person, and it could even be with a friend or with a roommate or with someone else, is that you have this motivation to keep moving through. And we wanted to build that into the workbook too. You know, we didn't want to just stack tricky exercise after tricky exercise after tell us your hardest memory about money. We wanted to build in breaks and beats and moments of reflection, and also moments of levity. You know, we have these beautiful illustrations from our illustrator, Jessica Coronan, to introduce some absurdity and funniness into the book as well. There's so much about money that fills us with dread, and talking about money that fills us with shame or, you know, the worry, these sort of negative emotions. And I think doing it with someone else introduces a positive emotion. And I'm curious what you learned when you mentioned you've been together for 17 years. I'm curious what you learned when you were doing the workbook together.
Not to put me on the spot or anything. Yeah, one of the interesting...
Totally to put you on the spot.
One of the really interesting things that I picked up was we were talking about where we got our ideas about money. And so my mom grew up in a small town in Georgia in a divorced household at a time when people didn't get divorced. And then she went on to college. One of the first in her family became very successful in banking. And she has this sort of, she likes to give gifts, right? It's really important to her to give gifts and to sort of share what you have. And I think she does it as a way of like pride, right? Because she gets to show off that now she has the money and she has the success. And I've always seen objects as signifiers of success. And my husband didn't grow up in that kind of environment at all.
Yeah. That is fascinating. I think that's what you're describing too, with how it gets passed down is something I've heard from so many readers. You know, maybe you didn't grow up in this small town, but the person who was formative to you did. So then you still have that experience, even though it's, you know, too removed from the life that you were living. I definitely, in the course of researching and reporting this book, I talked with Bure a lot, and we talked a lot about building in moments in the book where we help people chart that and also help people detangle what is an expectation of somebody else, you know, what somebody else has told you to aspire to and what you actually want to aspire to. So we have multiple chapters in the book where we're asking people and sort of helping people think, what is it that you want from your savings? What is it that you want from investing? Are you doing this just because you've been told you have to do this, or that this is a marker of success? Or are you doing this because this is your goal and this is your decision to move forward with this?
And this is 89.7 NPR's Membership Drive. Today we're talking about getting your finance organized. And we have a great thank you gift to tie into the discussion. When you make a gift of $10 a month as a sustaining member, you get the New Rules of Money book as your gift. And it's really for anyone and everyone. Whether you're just starting out and graduating college and you need to create a budget, or you're a seasoned pro who's headed towards retirement and you want to reevaluate things, this is really the book for you. And it's actually a workbook. There are worksheets, checklists, quizzes, other interactive learning tools to help you gain clarity on your spending. And you can use this book to figure out why you want to save money. What are you saving for? Maybe you're saving for the wrong things or things that don't align with your life. Get this right now by giving $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120 when you call 866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org. And remember, no matter what amount you give, you are supporting the news and information on 89.7 NPR News. The station brings you coverage you can trust when it comes to the latest information from the State House, race issues, social justice, no matter what is going on in Central Ohio. And with so much going on, having a trusted news source has never been more important. We're listener-supported public radio, which means you are the power behind it. And we're proud to say that listener support is the foundation of our budget. We do not answer to advertisers. We don't answer to shareholders. We answer to you, our listeners. If you've never given before, why not take the plunge with us now? Become a new member. A lot of new members start at $10 a month as a sustainer. And if that works for your budget, then you can also get the New Rules of Money, a playbook for planning your financial future. And you'll be supporting this station that you trust. Become a part of our WOSU family. Give now. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. I want to talk a little bit about how versatile this book is, because I was trying to think about it, because when I'm picking books to spend an hour on for All Sides, I try to pick books that are different, right? Books maybe you've never heard of or you might have passed over in the store. Books that basically surprise you. And I think the workbook does this because it seems almost too easy, too straightforward. It's what I call deceptively simple. Because if you do the work and really think about it, you're going to get so much out of it. And I really like that because it feels, I think the word I'm looking for is approachable.
I love that. What do you think, Bure? Approachable, deceptively easy.
These are all things we were trying to achieve with the book. I wanted to actually mention that part of what led to this book was, one of the inspirations was this story that Julia wrote in 2019. And I was her editor at the time. We were, at the personal finance bureau desk of the Wall Street Journal. And Julia brought up this idea for a feature story that, she's been talking to a lot of young people, and this idea of what their parents were telling them they should have by a certain age just seems so impossible. I think at the time, Julia, you were talking to 20, 30 year olds, and their parents were like, why don't you have a car? Why don't you have a house? Why do you have all the student loan?
Why aren't you married? Why aren't you
married?
Kids?
Totally.
It was kind of like a pylon of expectations from the generation that raised us. And we really felt like it was time to kind of call a moment that there was a generational tension with our parents' generation where the economy was very different, and especially the cost of college education was very different. And this need for understanding and this need for financial know-how to navigate the economy we grew up in and we live in. And so, yeah, that was a big inspiration for me, was how much that resonated. That story resonated with both our, you know, a little bit older readers, but also readers that were our peers. And it, I think it really started this conversation about the need for approachable, understanding, like empathetic financial advice.
Empathetic. That's another word that I love when people use that. I love also that you brought up, Beret, the older readers. That was some of the feedback on that story that struck me. So many people responded and said, this is me, this is my life, my parents want me to do this, or they're telling me this, and I just can't get there. But I also heard a lot from parents and even grandparents who said, I don't know what to tell my kid. You know, I look at my path, and my path, I went from point A to point B to point C, and yes, it was difficult. Yes, I had challenges. Yes, I had to scrimp and save and all these things. But I look now, and how can my kid afford a house? How can my kid pay down these loans? How can my grandchild get to the job that she feels secure in? How can she find a career that feels stable? These things that everybody at every level was confounded by. And so that was such a big problem, right? Like such a huge task to tackle. And so one of the things we wanted to do with this book was to take that huge sort of giant, what am I supposed to be doing with my life at this point question and say, okay, here's some starting points and we're turning it around. And it's not what are you supposed to be doing, but what do you want to do?
Yeah, I think this would be a great gift for a student who's about to graduate college this spring, because you have a section devoted.
We hope so.
Yeah, you have a you have a section devoted to starting your first job, and that includes like how to get a check from your bank if your company needs one for direct deposit, things you need to know and do when you get your first apartment. And I do want to say thank you to Carol Dale from Columbus for donating this hour, and Stuart Rabby for supporting us here at WOSU. But yeah, I think it's such a good book for somebody who's graduating college and is just starting to think about it. Because, you know, I think we all make financial mistakes in our early 20s, and they're all varying degrees. But so much of the time, there aren't parents who have talked to us about money, or maybe they have, but not in a way that connected with us, like you were saying. And I love that there's a whole section on priorities, right? You say, what are all the things that you want to do? And you write them out, and then you're like, all right, what are all the things that are possible for you to do? Or if you can only pick a handful, what are they going to be? You know, and so how did you develop these worksheets? How did you, like, did you work with someone? Did you talk to, like, experts? Like, how did you decide that this was the best way to winnow our priorities?
I'm a really big fan of writing things down. There's actually a lot of behavioral research that the first step to get going on something really tough is to write it down. Julia and I also see personal finance as a form of self-care. I feel like when there was a lot of self-care literature on how to take care of yourself and be kind to yourself over the pandemic, especially, but well before that, and I really think that personal finance should be part of anybody's self-care routine. Like, I don't know what's in your self-care routine, but like, I think a personal finance self-care routine, which Julie and I both have a schedule of what we do on our personal finance self-care days, I think it should be part of your personal wellness. It is such an important part of our lives. And I think it often gets seen as like homeworky or like a chore. Like, I really don't like the financial chores discussion, because I think it puts a really negative spin on what are, you know, things you can do to really make your financial life better. You can grow your money. You can save your money. There's so much that you can do that's good for you. That I think that is the thing to focus on as you're going into these goals and these tasks that might feel really daunting. But actually, like, once you do them, like, it's really, really overall really good for you.
Yeah, I love that. When you talk about savings too, you have this like great, you have all these like fun examples, you know, and the part about saving for specific goals, you say like, this week I'm cutting my Wednesday takeout order, and then I'm getting a less expensive bottle of wine for book club, and I'm skipping Sunday brunch. And you don't think about all those teeny tiny purchases along the way, but that's, you know, you add it up and estimate costs, and you're like, that's $78 that I saved in a week. And when you think about it, when you actually write down where all your money's going, it's so eye-opening. And sometimes just you're like, it's sad, but it's like a real recognition of where you are and what your priorities have been, even if you didn't know them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it also helps you get a fuller picture, because so often we focus on the tiny things, right? We focus on, Bray and I are so fatigued by the avocado toast latte conversation. I mean, we've seen every iteration of that, you know, talking point that you can see. And we're so fatigued by it because that's where your focus can go. But I had a source one time say something to me that stuck with me for years. And he said, you save the most money where you spend the most money. So when you look at this bigger picture, when you see, oh my gosh, I'm spending so much on going out, or wow, my rent has been steadily increasing for years and I've just been looking the other way. These things that you don't really notice as being the giant things, that's where your focus can shift. You know, if you actually think, wow, all right, I'm spending so much more on Ubers than I thought I was, let's cut it down. Or, wow, this is actually a smaller piece of my budget than I thought. Brunch isn't this hedonistic, shameful thing. It's actually a tiny piece of this. I can afford to keep it in my budget. It helps you allocate your priorities. And it helps, again, you know, what we've been talking about so much as we've been talking with you, Anna. It helps, again, you decide what is important. You know when you look at something if you have an immediate reaction. If you look at all of your streaming bundles and you say, that seems right, I watch a lot of TV, then cool, keep that. We're not telling you that you need to watch less or cut that. But the parts that are surprising to you or the parts that are sneaky or the parts that are upsetting, that's sort of your gut check to think, okay, whoa, this is where I can change.
And this is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. And this is All Sides. Joining us this hour are journalists and authors Bere Lamb and Julia Carpenter. They have a great financial advice workbook that's called The New Rules of Money. And the book is our thank you gift to you this hour. You get the book and support All Sides, and you can support all of your favorite programs, not just mine. This book is written in a fun, easy-to-follow style. It looks like a workbook. It's got these great, fun, somewhat like silly illustrations. And it's designed to be used and written in to help you craft a personalized financial plan. Get this book today with a gift of $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. All Sides is committed to talking about finances and keeping you up to date on the economy. We recently aired a 6-week series called Untangled, where we take a complicated issue and untangle it for you, explain it in detail. And the series was dedicated to untangling the housing crisis. So if you're trying to save to buy a home, this book that we have as a thank you gift can help with that. And shows like Untangled from All Sides, those shows help you understand what is going on. If having a show like this one is important to you, please make a gift and support it. We are dedicated to bringing you shows that explain issues in depth. All Sides is not a show of talking heads. We're not yelling at each other. It's a public radio talk show with civil conversations. And these conversations are important to you. That's why you choose to listen to 89.7 NPR News. Please choose to support us today. Support the news and information you depend on. Give it 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. And just a reminder, your gift For $10 a month, we'll get you this book, The New Rules of Money. It's a playbook that's perfect for someone just starting out, and it's also great for someone who is saving for retirement. You can use the book to determine your financial priorities. Or maybe you have someone in your life who could use a little financial guidance, like that new college graduate. Get this book. Give them a little nudge. And get a public radio membership as a gift as well. It's just $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. Call 866-897-9678 or make a gift at WOSU.org. So let's talk a little bit about retirement, the other end of the spectrum. Oh, and I quickly want to say thank you to Esther Badge from Columbus for your donation. I really appreciate it. So retirement is a big life shift, and there's a lot of anxiety with the lack of a steady income. So what should we be thinking about, you know, when we're 25, when we're 35, when we're 55? Because I think you can get to a certain stage and realize and just like freak out that maybe you just don't have enough money to retire.
I also think that so many people,
Oh yeah. Let me hop in for a second. Cause you know, you mentioned the like fun, silly illustrations, and this is such a great topic to talk about that. So the fun, silly illustrations is an egg, right? For our book. And it's actually a nest egg. And so one of the things we want to impart on people is that you do have a nest egg. If you have a savings account, you have a nest egg. If you've started saving for retirement, you have a nest egg. I think a lot of the numbers that come out about retirement can be kind of scary. Like, I think it's meant to motivate you, but it's actually just scary. Like the most recent survey, it was something like $1.46 million that you should have saved up for retirement. And when I started my career in my 20s about 10, 15 years ago, that number was a million. And it was so daunting. Like, I think it's numbers like that that make personal finance seem really scary. But there's some good news in there, which is that you don't have to save $1 million. Like, that's not what is being asked of you. First of all, that's like a very, you know, rough estimate. And then second of all, you're growing your savings to that goal. You know, like one of the really positive things about this generation that our colleague Ann Turgeson, who covers retirement, has written about is that we're part of this generation that we're hopefully auto-enrolled into these 401k savings plans. And this is something that, you know, retirement advocates have been working on for years and years and years, and it didn't happen until around the time we were entering the workforce, like the millennial generation was, and certainly Gen Z entering the workforce, that if you didn't, when you're onboarding for your new job, if you didn't make any selection, they would just auto-enroll you into a retirement plan. And it turned out that that was really a big boon for the finances of our generation, that we are less behind on retirement savings than previous generations because we were auto-enrolled, we were saving, and automatically these auto-enrollment plans will put your money into the market. And we know that over the long term, the market returns are much better than having your money in cash. Like, you could Google like any broad-based stock market index over the last 20, 30 years, and you'll see an upward pattern. And so that's what you're looking to do with your retirement savings. You don't want to just put it in like any old account. You want to put it in these special, you know, tax friendly, actually you don't have to pay any tax when it goes in for some of them. You pay taxes when it comes out, or you could do a Roth, which Julia can get into and is in our book, which means you pay taxes now and then it's tax-free when it comes out. So there's like big tax advantages to these retirement savings account that is legislated into law. And so this is all to help us get there. I think it's really nice to think that, like, yes, we have to try to save this money and grow this money for retirement, but that there's all these structures in place to help us get there.
That's great. And so we just had somebody who made a donation and got the gift membership for their son. So they're going to give the book to their son, Vikram.
Aw, well, thank you to that person.
Yeah, her name, I'm going to try my best. It's Krishna Swami Srivastava. I hope I gave it my best shot. I really hope I got it right. But it looks like she bought it for her son, Vikram. And I think that is just such a lovely and thoughtful gift. It's something, you know, I want to get extra copies for my girls when they grow up. They are still in elementary school, so a little too young for this, but
never too young, Anna. Never too young.
Yeah, we're teaching them through allowance and chores and that kind of fun stuff. One section of the book that it made me laugh out loud when I saw the title, which was How to YOLO Responsibly.
And we have gotten so much response to that, yes.
And for those who don't know it, YOLO is an acronym for You Only Live Once. And what I love about that is it's silly, right? And it kind of makes you giggle. But then you have these little money, like they look like dollar bills. And you're supposed to write in a YOLO purchase, like you only live once purchase. And then you have to, these little bars, like what was your satisfaction with it at the time? What is your satisfaction with it now? And so it's funny. And the little egg is wearing these like money sunglasses, but it's also really serious to think about, was that thing that I impulse bought worth it to me 6 months later, 1 year later? And this is, again, that like deceptively simple part of your book, because it is a way to really get at like, are we satisfied in the long run with the things that we buy?
And it's about finding patterns, right? Different people YOLO on different things. You know, if you are somebody who impulse buys clothing, for example, you can't walk by a cute top without adding it to your cart, then you add it to the YOLO meter and see, okay, I wore it once. Okay, I wore it twice. Does my satisfaction, just that thrill of taking it to the checkout counter match with the thrill of now seeing it in my closet? Maybe there is no thrill, or maybe you still feel as excited about it now as you did when you first purchased it. And it helps different people recognize different things. You know, I have a friend who impulse purchases travel, for example, and she lives this very cool life, but I'm curious what she thinks when she adds some of those to the YOLO meter. If it, 6 months later, for example, if it's still rings is true to her. And I think also it helps people understand that these things aren't just, oh, I did this and then I should just forget it and feel bad about it. You have to actually sit with the feeling for a little bit longer than the, you know, add to cart feeling.
Yeah. And I love the section on guiding your impulse aspirations, which you really talk about some of the new things, like why maybe you bought something or you wanted something because you saw it on social media. And that is such a trap. Like TikTok, Instagram, they're full of those like unboxing videos or haul videos. And it is so easy to just click and add to cart.
We're also overwhelmed with so many images of excess. And it's easy to get caught up in that, right? It's easy to want to emulate people that you see living a life that you aspire to. But actually, one of the things we include in the book is a little list where we tell people, just write down the things that you want. You know, okay, you don't have to buy them, but just write them down. Because even, it was what Bray was saying earlier, even the power of just writing down, I want a candle that smells like, you know, oranges in Italy, or I want the glittery purse, or I want the, you know, cool new phone camera. Like all of these different things you add, when you write them down, sometimes you're like, oh, I actually don't want that. I actually don't want that. Just seeing it all written out, like seeing these different things. Oh, I actually don't have room for an air fryer in my kitchen. These different things that you're adding then sort of brings you back to reality for a moment.
Yeah. And I want to give a shout out to Christine Roloff from Dublin. Thank you so much for donating this hour. This is listener supported 89.7 NPR News. And this is All Sides with Anna Staver. And this is the time to make a gift right now. You're running out of time this hour. And this is the hour when we're talking about financial literacy. If conversations like this are important to you, now is the time to make a gift of support. It's also so important to the future of 89.7 NPR News. You support the conversations we bring you every day. We all work really hard to bring you interesting people, interesting conversations that are in-depth, that are surprising, engaging. Many times we talk to a guest for a whole hour, like we're doing with Julia today. You only find that on public radio. So support 89.7 NPR News by going to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Your gift today of $10 a month is a great investment in the future of your listening. If you listen to Morning Edition every morning, catch all sides during midday, or all things considered on the way home, then you're a dedicated public radio fan. Your gift right now keeps all these great programs on the air for the months to come. Make a gift of $10 a month and get the book, The New Rules of Money. Call 866-897-9678 or make a gift at WOSU.org. When you make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer, you get the book. The subtitle of the book is A Playbook for Planning Your Financial Future. And our guests today are the authors. And in it, Bore Lamb and Julia Carpenter will help you overcome your fears of money, break old spending habits, and become more mindful of your personal finances in a really non-judgmental, non-pedantic way. It's written with a lot of empathy. Give $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 and get this workbook as your thank you gift. Call 866-897-9678 or make a gift at WOSU.org. The book is something you can use yourself, or you can give it as a gift to someone in your life, like someone who might need a little financial guidance. This book will help you clarify your goals and make a plan for sticking with them. You can find out how much you should be saving. You'll learn how to invest in the stock market. The book will teach you how to find a good financial advisor and whether that's the right path for you. Give $10 a month and get The New Rules of Money. Give $10 a month at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And if you're curious about what the workbook actually looks like, I posted on my Instagram stories just like a flip through of it. It's really cool. You got to see it to really understand what it looks like. I know we're trying to describe it, but if you want a visual cue, you can go on. My Instagram is just at Anna Staver. It's very simple. And you can just like pull up the story and you can just, it's about 2 minutes of me flipping through the book. It's really like beautiful. I got to say, whoever did your illustrations, like kudos.
Jessica Coronin, our collaborator, she is so talented and also just such a delight to work with.
So, you know, one of the things I really like, because you talked about it being conceived of like a cookbook, right? You take from it what you need and everybody's at different levels. But it also reminded me of that in a sense that you ever sometimes, and not to bash on any way of managing money, but sometimes they're so prescriptive, they're so restrictive that sure, you can do it and you will like pay down your debts, but it's not sustainable. It's not a way of living your life. It's kind of like when you go on a really restrictive diet to lose weight and sure, it works for that wedding or that event, but you can't live on it, you know, for the rest of your life. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And I mean, the diet metaphor is one that is everywhere in personal finance. It's why we blame lattes and blame avocado toast for the same reason. And the thing that those workbooks do, and maybe some of them aren't even workbooks, maybe some of them are textbooks, but the thing they do is that they take, again, this goal that you have to subscribe to. It's not necessarily a goal that is originated from you or from your life. It's following this model. And so one of the things that we really wanted with this book was for people to add their own goals and for us to help them chart that path to it. So instead of us saying, okay, own a house by the time you're 30, follow these steps, we say, is homeownership something that makes sense for you right now? Is it something that makes sense for your life? Is it on your list of priorities right now? Cool. Okay. It's not. Moving on. Let's figure out what is on your list of priorities and helping people go from there. A lot of the book is about habit setting, habit forming, and helping people generate that from themselves.
Yeah. And I love that it is written with a lot of empathy because you have this section on depleting your emergency fund, right? You talk about how to set one, why it's important to have one. But you also talk about rebuilding it. Like it is meant to be used for emergencies and that we should let go of that guilt of having to spend down our emergency fund and how we can rebuild, so to speak. But yeah, it's a weird tick, right? We have it there for a rainy day. And then when it pours, we don't want to use it.
Oh my gosh, Anna, I am guilty of this myself. I just had to use it in January and I've saved this money for this reason, but there's still this moment where I have to think, oh, this is an emergency. Is this an emergency? Am I swapping for using this money? And then I had to think, no, that's why it's there. That's why it's there for me to be feeling, you know, comfortable and knowing that I can replenish it. The thing with an emergency fund is that for too long, so many people, myself included, think of it as just an extra savings account. You know, this is just my kind of, I have my fun money over here, my important savings in my 401k and other places, and then I have this other account, my emergency savings account. Is needing to go to my friend's wedding an emergency? Probably not. Is a medical scare an emergency? Yes. So kind of calibrating your own level of emergency and your own level of, you know, break glass in case of emergency is an important part of it. But you're right about the rebuilding. We can't live a life in which we never touch these things. That's just not realistic.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it can feel so daunting. One of the rules I always had growing up is you're supposed to have 3 months of your income saved for emergencies. And that can feel so overwhelming that you almost don't start saving.
And a lot of experts now even say 3 to 6 months, which for so many people is such a gargantuan amount of money that they don't even attempt it.
And you make a point to say that you are journalists, you're not financial advisors. So how do we determine if we need a financial advisor? Like, what kinds of questions should we ask? Because I think it's kind of like going to a therapist for the first time. It can feel overwhelming.
I love that analogy. One of the things we include in the book is actually a script to take when you are emailing a financial advisor for the first time or reaching out to one for the first time, to take away some of that fear and also to demystify the process a little bit. You know, you can copy and paste what we have in the book, fill in your own answers, and then send it without thinking too much about it. It helps you gauge what you need, but it also sort of takes away the work that I think keeps that at the bottom of your to-do list for too long.
Yeah, and it also has great sections on health insurance, disability insurance, you know, FSAs, HSAs. Like, I think there's so much about becoming an adult that people don't really talk about. And you sort of like, should I be putting money away in these things? Like, how much should I be putting away in these things? And it can, you know, when you get your first job and you get your first apartment and you move out on your own and you're like, I don't know what to do with all this stuff.
I mean, I love the way you said, you know, should I be putting money in these things? I would even take it back a step further and say, what are these things? You know, so much of what Beret included in one chapter of the book is definitions for these terms, because you Google them and you can get 10 different definitions, 10 different articles that link you to things. We're kind of trying to cut through all of that noise and just give you a very simple explanation to say, okay, FSA, flexible spending account, HSA, health savings account. What is the difference between these two things? Which one do you have? Okay, let's move forward from there. What is insurance? What is a certified check? What are these different things that people are always saying that maybe you've sped past the point of knowing what they are and are instead just in the point of saying, do I need one? So much of the financial advice that we get or the personal finance advice out there, I think skips some of the beginner stages or spends way too much time in those beginner stages, you know, to the point where you feel talked down to or condescended to. So we wanted to toe that line by including just some very simple starter packs and then allowing you to sort of build from there at the level that you're comfortable.
Yeah, it really is a cookbook. You can choose your own adventure.
I hope so. I love that analogy for that reason. I think that anybody of any level should be able to open this book and get something from it. Someone who feels very accomplished in their financial life or someone who's just starting out.
We're hoping to get 10 more gifts in the last 10 minutes of this hour. 10 gifts of any amount to show your support for this show. Maybe $10 a month is just not in your budget right now, but you know, all that we've been talking this hour about how little bits of savings can really add up over time. Look, small donations for us really add up over time. This is 89.7 NPR News, and this is our spring membership drive. One important thing to remember is that you're the future of public radio with your gift. When things with the global economy seem to be changing on a daily basis, when the news can seem relentless, especially in an election year, this is the time to support the things you believe in and value. And I'm guessing public radio is on the list of things important to you. That's why you're listening right now. If you depend on this station for national news, local news, then now is the time to make a gift. And you're running out of time to give this hour, so don't wait. Call 866-897-9678 or give at WOSU.org. And thank you so much to everyone who has given so far this hour. If you give $10 a month, if that's doable, or a one-time gift of $120, you get this book. We've been talking about personal finance this hour and about the new rules of money. It's written in a fun, easy-to-follow style. It looks like a workbook, and you're supposed to write in it. It's designed to be used to help you craft a personalized financial plan. Don't wait for the hour to end. Give now and support this show. If you make a gift of $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120, you get this thank you gift and you become a member of WOSU. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Our guests are here today to talk about personal finance, and sometimes it's difficult, if not overwhelming, to get your finances in order. The past few years have shown us that nothing is certain except change. So if you get this thank you gift today, you can get great advice. It's full of interactive learning tools that will help you gain clarity on what you're spending and why. Give now and support this show at $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. And don't wait. Make a gift in support of the news coverage you depend on and will continue to depend on. Give it WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Again, $10 a month for the thank you gift we've been talking about, the new rules of money. Go online at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And thank you to Chris Dermott from Granville. Thank you so much. So, Julia, as we get into the final couple of minutes that we have together, you know, what has been the reaction to the book now that it's been out in the world? What are you hearing from people?
Well, I love that you brought up the illustrations earlier, because I think the illustrations and the design of the book play a huge role in people's gravitation to the book. I've heard from so many people who say it just looks friendly. That's something I hear a lot, and I love that word. It just looks friendly. So many of these things are really intimidating or thick and scary. We wanted the book to be friendly, approachable, easy on the eyes, pleasing to hold. And so much of the feedback I've gotten has been about that, that even before they open it, they feel welcomed by the book. And that's been really lovely to hear.
It's a bright yellow book, too. It, like, looks like a workbook.
We didn't want it to be green. We specifically said no green, no giant dollar signs. We want it to be friendly and smiley. And there are some parts in the book that are tricky that gets into some adventurous territory, but it should still be fun to read. It should still feel pleasing.
We've got 9 more gifts to go. We have a goal for this hour, and a gift of any size would be appreciated. You can call 866-897-9678. And, you know, the more I look at it and the more I work through, I'll admit I'm not completely through the book yet. My husband and I are taking our time.
But, well, that's exciting, though. That's exciting. I love talking to people who are in the midst.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what's so fascinating is when you sit down with a partner or a spouse or a roommate or even your kid, and you sort of say, what are you saving for? And you really start to write down those lists and think about, okay, is travel important to us? And if it is, does that mean that we want to drive our cars longer, right? Have simpler, smaller cars, dine out less. And I think having that goal, right? We want to go and take this big trip. So going out to eat on Friday night is not a priority because that money is going to the trip. Just having that is so transformative for your savings.
I just had this conversation with a friend last week. We were going to go to the movies together, and then she was getting ready to go on vacation. She said, you know what? I want to really enjoy myself on this vacation. I don't want to feel like I'm holding back. Probably better for me to skip the movie this week and then hang out when I'm back and we can talk more. And I thought, what a great example of that trade-off, right? That she has said, not the priority for me this week because I want to have this priority next week. She was sort of planning in advance for herself to enjoy herself on vacation and not be penny pinching.
Yeah, and at the very end of the book, which I have not gotten to yet, they have all these little faux sticky notes, and it asks you to write your own affirmations. Can you, like, why did you want us to write affirmations, put down our new rules of money as we finish?
Well, the first thing we wanted to do was acknowledge the science. There's a lot of science that shows affirmations can be crucial in habit forming and crucial in changing your mindset. So if you are someone who feels that you are coming into this book without a clear path for yourself or without a clear understanding, taking one of those affirmations that say, I have a plan and I know how to stick to it, that can help you internalize those lessons in the message. One of the things we have included, speaking of emergency funds, was I've weathered an emergency before, I can weather it again. That's something I had to remember in January when I had to dip into my emergency fund. I had to remind myself, I've done this before, I've planned for this, it's okay. Taking that moment to sort of reinforce the messages from the book is really important in sticking to the plan and in sticking to your goals.
And you are running out of time this hour to get this great gift, the new Rules of Money. Call 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. And, you know, one of the things I also like is you say, take it out of the book. Like, we don't actually have to cut the little post-it notes out of the book, but you're like, stick it on your mirror.
You can.
You could. You could cut up the book. But I like sticking it on the mirror, or maybe you make, I know, I don't know, it sounds, sometimes it sounds cheesy to say make a vision board, but they work for a reason, right?
Or just writing it down, like Bree said at the top of the hour, just writing it down in your notebook, committing to it. I had a therapist tell me years ago to keep a list of things to remember in the beginning of my notebook. You know, things like, I am safe, different things without getting too personal about it. But they are reminders. They reinforce the messages that you want to have as core to your path and as core to your financial journey.
What's your favorite chapter in the book?
Oh, I love that question. I am so partial to Know Your Numbers. I think it's chapter 2 in the book. It's that beginning step. It's that beginning step of opening your laptop, writing down every number that matters to your financial life. How much you have in savings, how much you have in your checking account, how much you have left to pay on your loans, how high the credit card bill is. All of these different things that make you look at the entire picture. That one is a little bit of a ticky-tacky chapter. You know, you do have to acknowledge every number that could be swirling out there. Your credit score, for example. All these different things. But I think once you have that information in front of you, that information is powerful. You can actually look at the full breadth of things instead of just carrying this amorphous sense of, I'm in debt, or, I have no money, or opposite, you know, wow, I'm great, I'm doing well. It forces you to sort of take that amorphous idea and put it onto paper.
This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Anna Staver, and the time to make a gift is right now in our final moments. You can give us a call at 866-897-9678 or donate at WOSU.org. And I do want to say thank you so much to Julia Carpenter, a journalist and co-author of The New Rules of Money, for sticking it with us this hour. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And your gift today of $10 a month is a great investment, not only in your future, but in the future of this station. If you listen to Morning Edition or catch All Sides, All Things Considered on your way home, then you're a dedicated public radio fan. And your gift right now keeps these great programs on the air in the months to come. Make a gift of $10 a month and get the book, The New Rules of Money. Call 866-897-9678 or make a gift at WOSU.org. When you make the gift of $10 a month as a sustainer, you get the book. And it's a playbook for planning your financial future. That's the subtitle. Give $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 and get this great workbook as your thank you gift. Call 866-897-9678. 897-9678 or make a gift at WOSU.org. It's a great graduation gift for kids just graduated from college. And I don't have the ID. And I think if you give $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120, you can sit down. You can work through it with them. It's a, and this is 89.7 NPR News. This is WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus. You can listen online at WOSU.org. A service of WOSU Public Media, 89.7 NPR News. Global, local.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause. And rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.